For this morning, we're continuing our sermon series on the Gospel of John, yes, that you may believe. And we'll be heading back to chapter 14 of John's Gospel. And as we mentioned, John's purpose in writing this account of the life of Jesus here on earth is so that we may believe. Even now, centuries later, as Jesus said in our sermon a couple of Sundays back, John wants us to believe that just as Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, where he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me," which is a preposterous thing to say in our country today. Oh, and never let it give us some kind of, well, there you go, I'm saved, you're not. No. He wants all to come to him. And it's preposterous. And as I mentioned it a couple weeks back, we need to be champions, really, of everybody's right in this country to believe whatever they wish, especially when it comes to matters of faith. But we are quoting Jesus. So as I mentioned a couple Sundays back, was he lying? Was he just deceived? We're quoting Jesus, and John quotes him too, and it tells us that Christ is the way back to a relationship with our Creator. That's what we promote. It's a relationship that has been severed, really ever since people first decided to go their own way rather than God's way. And it's an ongoing battle for all of us every single day, by the way. Every day you got to kind of decide, am I going to go God's way or my way today? And John's hope is that we too may believe and have life in his name. And well, we think about eternal life, of course, but then also Jesus said, no, I've come to give you abundant life here, a purpose to your life, a reason to be here. And here in this upper room with his disciples on the night he was to be betrayed, and John, of course, is an eyewitness to all of this. And in John 14 and verse 15, Jesus says this to his followers. Remember, if you love me, keep my commands. And we learned it. He gave to them, and now he gives to us a brand new command. And it's kind of like, wait a minute, who does he think he is, giving new commands? Well, it's a proof of his deity, isn't it? And John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, he said, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And how much we love Jesus, that will determine how much we love people. I know I did a whole sermon on it somewhere. I'm sure you all remember it in great detail. But if you go through the New Testament, I mean, under the new covenant that Christ inaugurated at the crucifixion, this new covenant, you will discover that all of the commandments, every single one, they're all fulfilled if we can just keep two. Just keep two. As Jesus said one time, you got to love God. That's the first and greatest commandment. And then love other people. Those are the two commands. Singing a Dr. Phil, he might just say, well, how's that working out for you? Well, because, I mean, you just got to look around. There was a song in the 1960s. Don't acknowledge it if you know it, because then people will think you're old. But do you remember the song, "What the World Needs Now"? I won't. Somebody knew it, and I won't say who it was. "Is love, sweet love, it's the only thing," right? We need that. We need that, and we need demonstrations of God's love. You and I are bearers of the love that the world actually needs. You just got to look around. And when we love, they will know. Oh, come on, I'm a Christian. Can't people read this T-shirt I'm wearing? My neighbors know I go to church every Sunday. Oh, yeah. And I try to give them a really judgmental look as my family is going off to church. Oh, I see. Golfing again, are we, Bill? Right. Didn't they read my Facebook post? Now, couldn't the world use a whole lot more of God's love? And how are they going to find it except through us? Because it can't be any kind of love, okay? I mean, some people are very hard to love. Have you ever noticed? Nobody here, but have you ever discovered that? And that's why Jesus was clear. You've got to love God first. And then that love gets poured into us. You then have that power, His love, now residing within you to help you be better at loving other people. And here in John 14, He's going to begin to tell us, well, I was going to say who that something is, but rather He's going to tell us who that someone is. Who He is that will be our source of the power we need to love. And I want to read just a few verses here. I'll start again with verse 15 of John 14. But He said this. He said, "If you love Me, keep My commands. And I'll ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." By the way, that's the title of the sermon for this morning, the Spirit of Truth. "The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans." Remember that He's told the disciples, "I'm leaving." And they're like, "Wait a minute, hold on, you just got here. Where are you going?" "I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see Me anymore, but you will see Me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you'll realize that I am in My Father, and you are in Me, and I am in you. Whoever has My commands and keeps them is the one who loves Me. The one who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I too will love them and show Myself to them." I'm just going to skip down to verse 25. "All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Said it again, didn't he? "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid." Someone has called the Holy Spirit the neglected member of the Trinity. I mean, we really talk a lot about God the Father. We really mention Jesus a whole lot. But the Spirit, well, you don't want to get too weird about that, do you? Right? You can go on YouTube and find all kinds of weird things that people do and then blame it on the Holy Spirit. But I want to just share some truth, I hope, about, well, okay, as we read it in the title of my sermon, as Jesus calls Him, the Spirit of Truth. He also uses a very interesting word here, and it's kind of hard to translate in the English. In the New International Version that I read from, they've chosen the word advocate. Other translations use the word counselor or comforter. Now, we all like that word comforter, right? We really do need some comforting, don't we, if we're going to survive in this world of ours? Yeah. Okay, many, many months from now, when you go to the cedar chest where the mothballs are, you're going to take out your comforter, and that's going to be nice on a cold winter night. I thought that might help you feel cooler, but anyway. But comforter, did you know, may actually not be the best term to use. I was looking this up in a commentary I have at home, so you can blame them, not me. But to use the word comforter is actually misleading, because the meaning of that English word has changed. It was first in a translation of the Bible by John Wycliffe back in the 1300s, and then it was carried on in the King James Version in the 1600s. Bruce Fournier mentioned it something last Sunday. Remember, he mentioned in Philippians chapter 4, when he was younger, he learned that Philippians chapter 4 verse as, "Be careful for nothing." Now, that doesn't mean to be careless or reckless. But the word, careful, changed, didn't it? It's changed since it was first used all those centuries ago. So in modern English, we would say, in the case of Philippians 4, we would say, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be worried about anything. But then it goes on, you know, in everything, pray. And we're told that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus as you leave all of these cares and concerns with God. It's a great promise. And the meaning that used to be associated with the word comforter, well, it actually came from a Latin word, and it actually meant to be brave. Now, that word Jesus used in the Greek language, which is the language that most of the New Testament is written in, some of it's Aramaic too, the word in the Greek used is parakletos, which is not helpful to anybody. But I was doing some research. Parakletos. It's a word that means an intercessor, a consoler, an advocate. Or, yes, with that word consoler, there is also the meaning of comforter in there too. It's related to another Greek word, and that word is parakaleo. Parakaleo. I'd get you all to say that, but it's hot. But that word parakaleo comes from two words. The first word is para. Para is a word which means alongside. We think of ministries like the Mennonite Central Committee, Samaritan's Perth, Youth for Christ. And we call these kinds of ministries para-church organizations. In other words, these groups, they come alongside to help church congregations in their reaching out, maybe in evangelism or providing practical help to people. Ministries that show the love of God in very practical ways, like a food bank, for instance. The Salvation Army Church in Kitchener, they actually run a food bank out of there. Yeah. The Mennonite Central Committee, the MCC, they provide support, even in the form of medical aid or relief work in disaster-stricken parts of the world. And congregations like us, maybe we support them financially in that work. They are para, which means alongside, not in competition, but alongside the church, because they're probably made up of people who go to a church somewhere. And the other part of that word, kaleo. Kaleo. It means to call. Re-kalo. No, parakaleo, to call alongside. And it's often translated in our Bibles using the word encourage or encouragement. So when we encourage one another, we come alongside to help. Maybe somebody's hurting, struggling. This is how people will know we are followers of Jesus, by the way. When we actually care about people. And we show that in how we love. And in congregations, gatherings like this one here, we come alongside to provide help, support, comfort to one another. On Sundays like this one, we come alongside with mashed potatoes and scones and other such things. That ought to comfort everybody. And the Holy Spirit is that parakletos, the one who comes alongside. Well, actually, not only comes alongside, but more importantly, he now dwells inside every follower of Jesus Christ. Apparently, the meaning of the word is advocate. That's the main meaning, advocate or intercessor. And it's used to describe a person who pleads the case of anybody before a judge. It's what lawyers do. 1 John 2 and verse 1 says, "My dear children, I write this to you so you will not sin." Well, that's the goal. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And as verse 2 goes on to say, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, if you ever called to testify before a judge, You want to make sure you have a good lawyer, right? Okay, we're all going to stand before God someday. Well, so make sure you have the very best lawyer. That's all. Jesus, our Savior. Invite him to be your Savior. He's the righteous one, our advocate before the Supreme Judge. We don't talk about that a lot these days, but yeah, he's the lawyer you need who's never lost a case. But that other meaning of this word, and I think this is what may be most precious to those of us who are believers. I mean, we have our place in God's kingdom, all bought and paid for on the cross, okay? It's all taken care of. When we acknowledge our sins and put our faith in and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You do that personally, and it's not just all the different church hoops that you can jump through. No, we simply embrace the fact that he has embraced us first. And when we believe all of that about him, that he actually sent his son, that he actually died, that he actually rose again for me, we have the assurance that someday we'll be with him in heaven. Someday. That's the whole message of Christianity, by the way. We add all kinds of things to it, depending on what church background you have. But that's the main message. Christ died. Christ is risen from the dead. Do you believe that? Did he do that for you? So that's kind of like out there. What's the best way as you're looking? Out there. That's out there. Somewhere in the future, yes, I'm going to heaven when I die because I have Jesus as my Savior. But what about right now? Right now, right here, in the day-to-day, the nitty-gritty, where the rubber meets the road and all those kinds of things. This world we're living in right now. The Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, bestows on us spiritual aid and consolation. I know I got that right out of the commentary, but that's what he gives to us. He gives us help, gives us consolation, gives us wisdom. And like Jesus, he is our advocate who's always interceding in prayer for us. And I wanted to bring up this verse here from the book of Romans. The importance of intercessory prayer cannot be stressed enough. Oh, have I called that too early? Well, thank you. Right on, Jen. Okay. I'll get to that in a second. Because first of all, I thought to myself, you know, we say, hey, intercessory prayer. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know, sometimes you get to that place where your strength is just gone. You ever get there? You're just sapped. You're overwhelmed. So much stuff, and you just can't feel like you can do this anymore. You can't pray. You can barely get out of bed in the morning, let alone pray. Well, if you know someone who is in that kind of place right now, that's where you come in. You come alongside. You bring that person's name before the throne of God. They may not even know you're praying for them. But you can provide the strength in prayer that they just don't have right now. You intercede for them. And someday when you are in such a state, because we're all going to be at different times in our lives, so praying for one another. Someone else will do the same for you. It's so important. Okay, just to remind you, here is what it says in Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Oh, I should just mention that right there. You know, we have these important people who wrote down the Bible and everything, and we hold them up in high esteem, but sometimes we've got to remember they were human beings. So we have St. Paul, you know, wrote most of the New Testament, and he even says, you know, sometimes I don't know what to pray for. What? You? If you don't know what to pray for, what hope is there for me? But when we don't know what to pray for, you know, you sit there and go, what do I pray for this person there? The Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Whatever language he's using, he intercedes for us. And I was chatting with somebody just the other day, and I said, he doesn't slumber or sleep. So even when you're asleep at night, the Holy Spirit is interceding for you. Yes. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So all your prayers, as feeble as they may be, the Spirit will help your words reach the very ear of God. How we need the Spirit's help, eh? Now, I was peeking ahead to John 16 and verse 12. Jesus said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. And when I read that this week, I thought, oh yeah, I have much more to say here too. But, well, these people have already been bearing quite a lot, and they can already smell the lunch. So I think we may end up doing a part two on this. This will get everybody back to church on next Sunday. We'll see, Lord willing. But in that passage I was mentioning in John, this is going ahead to John 16. As verse 13 says, and it almost sounds a bit repetitious here because I think Jesus had to say it a few times to these guys that night. But he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. He'll not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. Oh boy, there's a whole lot to unpack right there. Jesus said he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. This is how Jesus can be with us, by the way, all over the world, through this Spirit. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. What do I leave you with here this morning? Hey, how are we going to know the truth from that which is false? You know, as good as some of the misleading stuff can sound, right? Wow, yeah, no, I guess you really do need my password? Yes, okay, and my credit card number. Good, yeah, because I'm in trouble with the bank. How do we know when something is true and something is false? I mentioned it briefly near the beginning of the message. At the beginning of John 14, we read it a couple of Sundays back, right, where Jesus said, I am the truth. Now, later on in chapter 17, when we get to it, he will say it in a prayer. He will say, Lord, your word is truth. So I am the truth, your word is truth. I mean, we're told that God doesn't lie. And now the Spirit, he's being called the Spirit of truth. This is why the early church started to kind of put two and two together. Actually, they put three and three together. They began to see, wait a second, all these various attributes, they're describing in completely the same way these three individuals, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy. They began to learn God is a Trinity. It's not a word you'll find in the Bible, by the way, but we believe he exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, three persons, three personalities, actually, because the Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force, right? We're not saying may the force be with you. No, the Holy Spirit is actually God. And when you think about it, the Spirit of God. If you're a Christian this morning, the Spirit of God is living inside of you. The same one that was hovering and brooding over the earth when it was covered with water all those years ago is now the one empowering you and me. That's pretty amazing. He's guiding us. He's making the words of this Bible make sense. And the more we fill our hearts and minds with God's truth, the more we'll be able to discern when, I don't know, something we hear, something somebody says, and you get that little check in your spirit. You ever get that where you go, wait a minute, hold on, is that true what they're saying to me? I mean, it sounds good, but no, this doesn't sit too well with me right now. Would Jesus actually say that? Oh, and this is far too late to bring this up in any great detail. I'm just going to mention it so briefly, but you all know. We're living in a day now where AI, artificial intelligence, it's quickly becoming a part of everybody's life. We won't stop it. And maybe you've seen some videos recently. The guy that was called the godfather of AI, right? He's warning people about what they started. You know, I've heard people that'll say, well, yeah, AI is going to take over the world. Oh, don't be crazy. But the people who kind of developed it, they don't write that off as crazy. They say, no, be careful with this. We're about to even create beings that will be more intelligent than we are. Which, okay, on the one hand, that shouldn't be too hard. But what kind of morals will they have? Right? Because it's not all bad. There are wonderful things that could happen and are happening now. But what kind of disastrous things could happen as this gets into the wrong hands? And it's already started, hasn't it? It's so hard to tell what's real and what isn't anymore. All right, Joshua said it long ago. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Anybody with me on that? Right? How about you? How about you? Let's stay focused on the spirit of truth.